Hey, we are so glad you've made a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and we are talking about Jameis Winston, but let's also give some love to Oregon's Marcus Mariota. Who, in your mind, is more NFL ready?
I think it's Jameis Winston, and I still kind of shy away, Elissa, from quarterbacks that play in the spread offense, especially the Oregon spread offense. And that's not to say that Marcus Mariota does not have the ability to be a terrific quarterback at the National Football League level. I mean, think about this, not just winning a Heisman Trophy, but he's the only quarterback in the history of college football to have to be responsible for at least 50 touchdowns and have six or less turnovers. But I still worry about him making those anticipation throws. In the National Football League, windows close so quickly. One of the great stories I ever heard about a quarterback trying to do that was when Archie Manning, I had a chance to talk with him, and I said, what did Peyton Manning tell you that left you shaking your head or left you smiling? He said, his rookie season, he said, Dad, nobody is open. That's what he meant by saying windows close really quickly, and you learn how to make those anticipation throws. I think Jameis Winston is more NFL ready to do that because he played in a more pro-style friendly system, and he was able to make plays outside of the pocket. I still worry about Marcus Mariota, that when you got to make that throw over the linebacker before the safety can knock out your wide receiver, does he have enough arm strength and enough ability to make those anticipation throws? When he made throws at Oregon, guys were running wide open because of the pace, and they weren't going against top-notch defenses the majority of the time. Can he do that at the next level? I still think that learning curve is going to be steeper for him than Jameis Winston. That's why I think Jameis right now is more NFL-ready than Marcus Mariota.
Okay, I got to ask you this, too. Making the transition to the NFL, when we talk about a Mariota and a Winston, you just have to wonder how they're going to react and respond to going to franchises that are kind of accustomed to losing.
Well, I think in Jameis Winston's case, because he's so used to having that around him, it may not bother him as much as Marcus Mariota. Now, on the inside, Marcus Mariota, I'm not going to say that he's too quiet for his own good, but I get the sense not a lot is going to throw him, but I want to see what it's going to be like if he's put in a situation where he's now the franchise quarterback. At Oregon, the program was bigger than him. He was able to be so successful in winning a Heisman Trophy, but we know more about the Oregon program than Marcus Mariota. Whatever team he goes to, he's going to be the face of that franchise. How will he deal with that? Because he's not exactly a person that wants to jump out and be a part of the media and have that media attention around him. But that's going to be part of his normal wherever franchise he goes and wherever he's going to be playing for in the National Football League. So I think that's going to be a concern from the standpoint of how does he handle that and not let it affect him on the football field. He seems to have the kind of demeanor that he can deal with that, but he's going to be himself. But it's a whole different animal going from Oregon where the media intensity is not going to be as great as he's going to see in the National Football League from a local beat reporter level or a national level with reporters coming in from all over the place.
Hey, Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. And let's transition now because obviously all eyes are on the big title game coming up on Monday night, Oregon and Ohio State. You're the ultimate prognosticator. How do you anticipate, Freddie C., how do you anticipate this is going to play out?
I'll say this. This is going to be a fantastic game because I think both of these teams, Elissa, are not going into this game without any pressure because nobody expected Ohio State to be here, not just because they beat Alabama, but this team has gone through three different quarterbacks. They also had to deal with a player committing suicide off the field before the end of the season when they played the Michigan game. So they're playing with house money. And I think you can say the same thing about Oregon because many people wondered if Mark Helfrich was going to be the kind of coach to replace Chip Kelly. Well, here he is in his second year at Oregon having his team playing for a national championship with a defense that's gotten a lot healthier and an offensive line that's gotten better. I think by both of these teams not having any kind of pressure saying you have to win or else, it's going to lead to a great championship game. I think it's going to come down to the final 5 minutes. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Ohio State is going to do it again.
Yes.
With all that they've gone through on and off the football field, where people wrote them off after they lost to Virginia Tech. People wrote them off when they lost JT Barrett. People wrote them off when they lost Braxton Miller at the beginning of the season, and yet here they are. I think by going through all of that and the way they can play offense and slow down people enough on defense, I like Ohio State to win what I think is going to be a classic ball game in Arlington, Texas.
Well, the Buckeyes, they have certainly embraced the underdog role and just they have also embraced that next man up philosophy. Talk to me some more about Cardale Jones. I mean, what an incredible just story and testament to being ready at any time your number could get called.
Yeah, he's not just a big guy. He's a moose that can run. I mean, he's 6'5", 240 pounds. But yet he has the ability to make all the throws because he has one of the strongest arms in college football. And it also goes to the strength of how good the guys were in front of him. Where Braxton Miller and JT Barrett, a redshirt freshman, put this guy as a sophomore on the bench. So how good are both of those guys playing for Urban Meyer with Ohio State? But I think the one thing that he has brought to this football team, in addition to his talent, is the fact that there's a calmness about him. Nobody seemed to panic when they realized that Bad was out and Cardale Jones was going to be in against Michigan, and then when they played Wisconsin and waxed them in the Big Ten championship game, or when they played Alabama. They looked at the man that calls himself the 12-gauge shotgun. They said, yeah, we're going to follow this guy because we know this guy is a talented player, and we're going to follow him. We're going to be a lot better than anybody could have anticipated. I think by having that poise and that calmness and that confidence really helped out Ohio State, because early on he did not play well against Alabama. Nobody seemed to worry or have a sense of the willies thinking he was going to figure his way out of it. He was able to do that, and look what Ohio State did to Alabama in the second half of that ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. Freddie Coleman with ESPN Radio joining us on the Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. And let's step back at the start of the college football season. I have to wonder, who did you have projected to be in that national title game?
You know what? I didn't think I had one particular team, because I thought for the first time in a long time things were so wide open when it came to college football, and the fact that we had a playoff each and every week. It was must-see TV and must-hear radio every Tuesday to find out who were going to be the top four teams. I think because college football has too many good players now, I didn't look at one team and said, okay, that team's head and shoulders over everybody else. Or even the SEC. They're still the best conference in the country. But I said the gap had narrowed between the SEC and the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and at times the Big 10. And I think we saw that as the season went along. Even though the SEC West was terrific, they cannibalized each other. And then when they got into the bowl game situation, other teams were able to take advantage of them. So I didn't have one particular team where I said, okay, that's going to be the team that's going to play for a national championship. I think the coaching is terrific in college football. I think the talent is more spread out than ever before. I think the days of one team or two teams or one conference being high and mighty above everybody else is completely over, because you have so many talented players and so many schools know where to go and get those players. If you're USC, you don't just have to recruit California players. You can go into Louisiana. You can go into Texas. You can go into Ohio. You can go into New Jersey and bring those players to your team. I think we're seeing that all over college football. It's made it a better game. It's made it a faster game, but it's brought more parity to the sport, and that's only good not only for the sport, but also for the fans that love college football like me.
Hey, Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio has been joining us tonight on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. I always enjoy listening to his show, and who knew when I was dialing in the other night, you're playing some Bob Marley. Gotta love that. One love.
Bob Marley always makes the show, at least, if not once a week, at least once every other week, because Bob Marley's good for the show, and darn it, it's good for the country as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you gotta play some Luther Vandross too, okay?
Oh, that you asked for the request, Alyssa, I will definitely do that for you. That's not a problem.
Absolutely, the power of love. Listen, the power of Freddie Coleman, been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We're going to step aside, much more straight ahead over the next 2 hours.